Hello and welcome. This is Pastor Terry, and I'd like to welcome you to my Bible study podcast. This daily podcast is a place where we take the teachings of Scripture seriously, but ourselves, not so much. Join us as we dive into the sacred word of the Bible, and each time we read, we pray, we change the world. Welcome to Pastor Terry's Bible Study Podcast.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to today's podcast. It is the last day of November, November 30th, 2023, and Thursday. Good to have you guys on. We're going to be reading 1 John chapter 4 today. Next week, programming note, next week we will be on, we'll start our Advent readings. So hope you can join us on Monday as we begin the journey through to Christmas, the journey of Advent. Sunday is the first Sunday of Advent. And we'll be doing Advent readings each day. So some from the Minor Prophets, mostly from the Minor Prophets at the beginning, a little bit from the Gospels. That's always a fun time. So great to have everybody on today. Those of you on the podcast, welcome. Thanks for being a part today. And let's dive in. Hope you guys are doing well. It's about 45 degrees here this morning, so it's a little definitely feeling seasonal. How about that? With a little seasonal feel in the air. So, good morning, Miss Simmons. Good morning, Nona. I think that's Trevor. I don't know for sure. I can't remember for sure if that's the handle there, but if it is, hey, Molly. Good morning, Nona. Good morning. All right, you guys, let's dive into the Word of God. Let's see what the Lord has to say to us today. You know what we do. We read, we pray, we change the world. Let's do it. 1 John chapter 4. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit. Man, we need to know that. But test the spirits to see whether they are from God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. All right, so we have to... Hey, Trevor, it is. Welcome back, man. You notice it says, do not believe. Like, don't believe every spirit, and not every spirit that claims to be of God, or every spirit that claims to be positive or for your good. But do what? Test the spirits to see whether they are in fact from God. Because the reality is many false prophets have gone into the world, and false prophets promote and carry a false spirit. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. So here we go. Like, well, okay, we'll test them, but how do we test them? Well, this is how you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in flesh. Okay, so there's a lot there. Acknowledges just that Jesus has come, Christ has come in flesh. So that Jesus Christ, became a man. So Messiah has come. Let's finish it. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. So there has to be a recognition of the gospel, that a spirit that does not recognize the gospel, that the message of Scripture, the message of the New Testament, that God has sent Jesus Christ, his son, into the world to save the world, to save sinners and to redeem them, and that Christ is Messiah, that he is sufficient to forgive sin, to redeem, that he is Lord. So a spirit that denies the lordship, the divinity, the incarnation, the lordship of Jesus is a spirit that is not of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming and even now is already in the world. Any spirit philosophy, particularly any doctrine that denies the reality of Jesus, is not of God. It's the spirit, John says, what is of the spirit of Antichrist. That's Antichrist by definition, right? I mean, if you think about it, Jesus is the Christ. Any teaching that recognizes that Jesus is the Christ and has come and has fulfilled that is pro-Christ. Any spirit that denies that is what? Antichrist. It's against Messiah. It's anti-Messiah. Yeah. And that spirit is already in the world. The enemy is, probably the most obvious understatement ever spoken, that the enemy is Antichrist. I know that's, you're like, man, I'm sure glad I tuned into the podcast today. You know what Pastor Terry said? He hold on. Are you ready? He said that Satan was Antichrist. Oh, yeah. Wow. Real nugget there. But it's the obvious, but yeah. I mean, the enemy is constantly Antichrist. And sometimes those, and what we have to remember, guys, is like, not every Antichrist spirit is like overtly sinister. Sometimes it's subversively sinister. So it's not like a outright bashing of Christ, but a Antichrist spirit can also be a ignoring of Christ, an apathetic spirit, a denial of Christ, an avoidance of Christ, taking Christ out of things, not mentioning Christ, functioning as if there is no Christ. That's all Antichrist spirits. Verse 4. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one, come on now, this is a good one right here. This needs to be underlined in every Bible. I mean, if you write in your Bible, this one needs to be underlined. The one who is in you is greater than the one that's in the world. Yeah. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than he who's in the world. Who's in you? God. Through the Holy Spirit. God is in you. And so the Spirit of God in you is stronger than the spirit in the world. Praise God. They are from the world, that is people, people of the world, and the spirits of Antichrist are of the world, and therefore they speak from a viewpoint of the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God, and whoever knows God listens to us, but whoever is not from God does not listen to us. So who's he? Someone who? The apostles, the early apostles. Believers. So he's saying those who follow Jesus will recognize the voice of the apostle, the apostolic voice. We'll listen, we'll know, we'll recognize that familiar family, that familial connection, that voice of the Spirit. And they'll respond to the Spirit of Christ. But the people of the world, they will not. They will ignore it. They will, in some cases, mock it. And we likewise, when someone is talking with the spirit of the world, we as Christians, we should be able to discern that. We're like, that is not the spirit of Christ. Right? You ever hear someone, even sometimes, even to preachers, right, can get off on a tangent, and you're like, that does not sound like the spirit of Christ. He or she, they've started talking about their own stuff now. That does not sound to me like the spirit of Jesus. That does not sound to me like the voice of the spirit. That sounds like something else. Come on. How many of you ever had that experience? Listening to a pastor, listening to a teacher, and you're like, it started off good, but it kind of took an angle, and I'm not sure that's now the voice of the spirit. The world listens to the world, but the spirit, those who have the spirit of God, listen to those who are speaking of the spirit. We are from God, and whoever knows God listens to us, but whoever is not from God does not listen to us. This is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. So there he's saying you can recognize, that's interesting, you can recognize a spirit of truth by a spirit of falsehood by who's listening to it. Right? So there's one sense in which as a Christian, as a follower of Jesus, we hear this voice of the Spirit and we respond to that. And when we hear a foreign voice, a voice that is not of the Spirit but of the world, it kind of, our antennas kind of go up, and it should. But also, from another angle, if we just step back and hear a spirit or a teaching going out, observe who's responding to that. Is it the world responding to that, or is it God's faithful, elect, children of God? Are they responding to that? And if the world is responding, it's probably a worldly spirit being propagated. If followers of Jesus are responding, then it's probably a voice of the Spirit. Now, do you still need to discern? Of course, because even the elect, even the children of God can be deceived. But it's a good place to start. That is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. Verse 7. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Amen. Let's just love people today. Love yourself. Love others. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. You ever seen people who just, they struggle to love? They struggle to love themselves. They struggle to love others. Whoever does not love, does not know God. It's hard to claim to know God. It's impossible, is what John says here. It's impossible to claim to love God and not love other people, and that includes yourself. You've got to love yourself. And that means knowing your value, knowing your worth, knowing your that you belong in the family of God, that you are wanted. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. Now notice, love is not God. God is love. Love does not define, this is really important because our culture gets this jacked up all the time. Love does not define what God is or who God is, because that actually is a starting point within ourselves, because our perception of love then defines who God is. That's not how this works. God, who is over all, he defines what love is. And so that means sometimes our notions of what love is must be corrected by who? The one who is over love, which is God. We've already seen in the Epistle of John that God is greater than our hearts. Over in chapter 1, I think. But here we see that also God is over love. God is love. Love permeates, radiates, emanates from God. Love isn't God. Like, and I get it. You know, even things see some catchphrase like love wins. And I get the notion, I get the idea of that. That good overpowers evil. Good ultimately conquers wickedness, and that's true. But if you just want to be on the real, love doesn't win. God wins. Love isn't, love isn't eternal, but in the book of 1 Corinthians, it says, now these three remain, faith, hope, and love, and the greatest of these is love. So love does remain, but it remains because it's a characteristic of God. It remains because God remains. Love in and of itself is not self-sustaining. I'm going on a little bit of a tangent on that, but I think you get what I'm saying. Love comes from God. God doesn't come from love. And sometimes in our culture, we worship this idea of love, which is really a cultural construct of what we think love looks like. But that is not a biblical, strictly speaking, that's not biblical worldview. The biblical worldview is God is supreme, and God defines for us and helps us understand what love is. Yes, love is good. And yes, we should love one another, but our understandings of love have to be formed and shaped by the God of love. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. See, this is not how we would normally think of love, but God shows us love. How? He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for sin. Ooh. Thanks be to God. So that's what love is. Considering the gospel, considering God who gave his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins so that we could live through him. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. So we, it's kind of works both ways, right? Like as if God is in us, we love others. And as we love others, we learn more about love, right? So as we love, we learn more about love. As we love others, we learn more about loving others. We continue to grow in love. And until it's what? Until it's made complete in us. This is how we know that we live in him and he in us. He has given us his Spirit. He has given us his Spirit, so we want the world to hear it. All our doubts are passed away. It was a little chorus back in the day. We have a hope. Yeah, that's it. We have a hope. We have a hope within our soul. Brighter than the perfect day. God has given us a Spirit, and we want the world to hear it. Yeah. Sometimes those just come out of nowhere, man. Verse 14, and we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them, and they in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. Wow. This is powerful. We don't rely on the love we have for God. That's not what's ultimate. That's good, but that's not what's ultimate. What do we rely on? We rely on the love that God has for us, which is never failing. And that love that God has for us was demonstrated in the sending of his own son at Christmas as an atoning sacrifice for our sin. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his son to be the Savior of the world. Praise God. Verse 16. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in them. And again, I just want to clarify, this doesn't mean our own self-defined definitions of love. This is godly love, of the way God defines it. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. So how can we be confident that we are his children? How can we be confident that when judgment comes, when we stand before God in the end, that we're where we ought to be, that we're truly in relationship with God? In this world, we are like Jesus. That's okay. There you go. There is no fear in love. Man, that's a powerful phrase. This is how love is made complete among us, that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. Wow. That's deep, man. I don't know if I've ever noticed that phrase like that quite before. How do we will have confidence on the day of judgment. This is how we will have confidence. Because in this world, we were like Jesus. Man, that's a challenge right there. Isn't that a challenge? That made me sit up. I was like, man, I got to sit up. Pay attention. Man, what a... There is no fear in love. I love this. There's no fear in love. But perfect love, the kind of pure, untainted love that comes from God. Perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. A fearful person is not a person who's really experiencing and living in fully the love of God, because perfect love drives out fear. We love because he first loved us. Some of you, by the way, some of you might just need to claim that today. You got something you got to do, something you're called to do, you're being challenged to do, and you're afraid. Perfect love drives out fear. The Spirit of God, where his presence is, God doesn't give a spirit of fear. He gives a spirit of power, love, sound mind. So just say, get behind me, Satan. God does not give a spirit of fear. We love, verse 19, because he first loved us. True. Whoever claims to love God yet hates his brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother or sister, brother and sister, whom they have seen, cannot love God, whom they have not seen. So if you can't love people you see, how are you going to love God who you can't see? And he has given us this command: anyone who loves God must also love their brother or sister. So you can't exchange one for the other. You're like, you know what? I tell you what, we're gonna go 50-50 on this. I'll love God, but I don't care about loving other people. Or you say, you know what? I'll love other people, but I ain't gonna love God. No, they're a package deal. You can't do one without the other. You can't truly love your neighbor until you love God. And you can't. It's not a good record. You don't truly love God if you aren't loving other people. All right, you guys, let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for loving us and showing us what love is, that you first loved us. Not that we loved you, but that you loved us. That's what love really is about. Lord, help us to be discerning in this world of so many lies and so many competing spirits. God, help us to be discerning, to be able to tell the difference between spirit that is of the world and the spirit that is from you. And so, God, help us to be those who listen and discern and seek your wisdom and your guidance as we walk through uncharted territory, changing times, and just clashing of values. Lord, help us to be those who love others. And as we go out today, help us to be those who carry your love with us. And as we encounter people, may they sense your love radiating through us towards them in love, in word, and in deed. God, I pray for my friends today. I pray you'd bless them, encourage them, strengthen them. Thank you so much for the privilege that we have together to read your word and to spend these times together, these moments together. We love you and give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, my friends. Thank you so much for being on today. We will not be on video tomorrow. The audio podcast will probably be out for 1 John chapter 5. But then on Monday, hope to see you guys on Monday. We'll pick it up with our Advent readings. Spread the word. Get some people to join us. We are live on YouTube between 6:50 and 7 a.m. Eastern time. So, love to have you guys have as many as would like to join us for the Advent readings. All right, you guys, thanks for liking, subscribing, sharing this, and I really appreciate that. You guys have a fantastic day. We'll see you next time. Bye.
Thank you for joining me on today's podcast. I hope you enjoyed the show. If this episode has been an encouragement to you, take a minute to subscribe or comment or share it with your friends. You can find me, Pastor Terry, and Bayside Church on all social media platforms. You can find Bayside at Bayside Church SH. Until next time, remember, God's word is true. Everything else is merely commentary. God bless you. We'll see you next time.